It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 hour down. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week. We got a lot going on behind the scenes and also a lot to come this hour. Really excited about having Tony Gwynn Jr. from San Diego join us following the Padres broadcast, of which he is half, along with Jesse Agler, but also from a baseball family. This is October. It's the biggest stage in the sport and really excited to check the pulse of San Diego baseball following that big victory. And it was terrific atmosphere. It came through on both the radio and the TV. And I know we've been bombarded by Padres fans over the last, what, few months, because they've had the best record in baseball since the All-Star break. And they go out there and they play like they've got some unfinished business and a lot to prove. And he's a former big leaguer himself, now an Odyssey baseball insider, and will join us from our San Diego affiliate, 97.3, the Fan, the home of the Padres. Because it's our hump show, not only do we have the opportunity for you to vote, wrapping up this Tuesday as we morph into a Wednesday, our candidates for Touchdown Tuesday, and I don't know, Producer Pete, I didn't ask you ahead of time, could we potentially let people hear the candidates again before this segment is done?
Okay, or into next segment. Yeah, either one.
Well, we got baseball next segment. So all it's right. If it's too much, it's just tell me.
I will let you know.
X marks the spot. I don't do well with sound effects. It's not my thing, sound effects, or except for turkeys.
Buzz.
Thanksgiving, I'm all about doing the turkey sounds, but not before. I don't do impressions, and I'm not great with sound effects, but I do make a lot of noise, and so there's that. At least it'll catch your attention when I make a lot of noise on the radio. I'm sure it's annoying at times, too, but whatevs. So we've got not only your chance to vote for Touchdown Tuesday and our TD of the week for just another hour or so. That poll is up at Amy After Hours, as well as on our Facebook page. But you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is about 90 minutes from now. And believe me, the time will go quickly. And so either one of those opportunities or both of those opportunities available for you as part of the Hump Show. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Kansas City, Baltimore, the other game. I say the other because we talked about the previous three last hour, and I didn't want to shoehorn it in along with the Tigers and the Astros just before the top of the hour. But these first two games from the American League Wild Card Series, significant in the way that they were played, and the fact that the Royals and the Tigers were able to grab these games on the road, I think, is huge, because Houston and Baltimore, they've got experience. Houston more than the O's do, but this is supposed to be the unfinished business for the Orioles as well, or at least a chance to build on the foundation that's been put in place over the last couple of years. They've been knocking on the door. They've been getting closer. Last year, over 100 wins. This year, battling back and forth with the Yankees, even taking the lead in the American League East briefly when the Yankees were going through their terrible swoon in June. Swoon in June. Ooh, I like it. And so they put pressure on the Yankees all season long and ultimately ended up winning the top wild card, only finishing three games back in that division, above 90 wins again, and finished strong. And I know there's a lot of optimism about the Orioles and what they can do, feeling like they got their feet wet a year ago. And then here are the Royals, who have a relatively successful past in stretches, right? Not all the way through, but different eras of the Royals. They're a World Series winner going back to 15. Is it 15 or 14? 14, they were in it. 15, they won it, right?
Yes.
So that was the last time the Royals made the playoffs. So you've got two franchises in the Tigers and the Royals that are hungry because it's been a long time, a decade since they've tasted a lot of significant success or really any success. I mean, the Tigers, they had to start fresh with A.J. Hinch. And I honestly thought that if they did not make the playoffs this year, he was going to get bounced. And instead, they surge, as did the Royals. And I really appreciate, too, that the Royals went through a pretty tough stretch where they lost seven games in a row, even as recently as a couple of weeks ago. And they also had to battle all the way down to the end with not just the Tigers, but also the Twins. So those two teams are kind of locked in terms of that fight or flight mechanism, that adrenaline, that sense of urgency, knowing that you can't take your foot off the gas for even a moment. But the Orioles do have that advantage where their young guys were in it a year ago, and they're able to play at home at Camden Yards, such a great venue. This was a classic pitcher's duel. It was still scoreless into the sixth inning.
So here's Junior with two down. Swinging a ground ball, base hit left field. Bobby Witt Jr. drives in Michael Garcia. And how many times did we say that in the first half? And the Royals lead 1-0 in the sixth with Bobby Witt Jr. coming through with two outs.
He has done it over and over again. But who would have thought that one solo RBI hit for the Royals would be the only scoring that we would see in this game in front of nearly 42,000 fans on Tuesday. It was actually the first playoff game for Witt and the first playoff game for Cole Reagans, who was terrific. So he went toe-to-toe with Corbin Burns in this one. As I say, a pitcher's duel, if this is what you love, and I do, I prefer a pitcher's duel over a home run derby any day. It's mesmerizing. Reagans goes the full six innings, allows just four hits. Of course, no run, strikes out eight, and then relinquishes that ball to the bullpen. Now, Burns stayed on the mound all the way through the eighth inning, and so the Orioles got an amazing outing from him. He only allowed the five runs. He had a walk in there as well, and oftentimes in the playoffs, that's what happens, is that a walk comes back to bite you in the rear. And even against a team like the Royals that didn't have the same number of wins and are coming in as a wild card, and even in their own division, had to go back and forth with the other teams behind the Guardians, of course. It's a big deal that they were able to take advantage of a walk that they secured, right? So it was the walk that came around to score on that Bobby Witt hit, but really very few blips for Corbin Burns in this game. There just wasn't a whole lot of offense, but still, I feel for the Orioles because they have in stretches seen their offense disappear. Gunnar Henderson was asked the question about their offense following the game, and honestly, he's at a loss, like we've seen with Brandon Hyde over the course of the year.
I mean, yeah, you want to score runs, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously not what we wanted to do, is not putting up any runs, but just how it happened today. But like I said, we'll go out tomorrow and play our butts off.
They definitely will that. We know for sure that these guys understand the significance of the moment. And certainly Brandon Hyde, they've been in this position before. As much as they are desperate to end this playoff drought, I know it. It's not their drought. It's an Orioles drought. But the fans, they're on edge. And I can tell nervous.
I think everybody understands the position we're in, and we need to win tomorrow. I don't think that's it's a team meeting rallying cry. I think everybody fully understands what the situation is.
Yeah. So you've got a bunch of teams there in the American League, and I think it's terrific to have fresh blood. Orioles have lost 9 consecutive playoff games. The Royals hadn't been there in nearly a decade, so not since 15. The Tigers hadn't won a playoff game since 13. This is the kind of stuff that I love, right? This is my favorite thing is to have something new, something fresh, something different, and the AL Central is providing it with still the Guardians to come. So, yeah, the Orioles have to be able to avoid a loss at home coming up on Wednesday. Why do I get my days mixed up? I'm just going to go with October 2nd because I feel like that makes more sense in my brain. They have to be able to take the next game. And somehow it works that even when there's disappointment in your past, if you can erase that with a big win and they could advance in this series, because last year they were swept by Texas, who ended up winning the World Series. They did get what they needed from Corbin Burns. They're so close, but they got to be able to come through. And ultimately, looking at the box score, I mean, there weren't a ton of opportunities. Kansas City was 1-for-3 with runners in scoring position. The Orioles did leave 7 guys on base and were not able to come through with the big hit when they needed it, but such a thin margin for error. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, one more, actually, because the Royals have earned it. Bobby Witt Jr., yeah, really tight game.
You always got to just stay locked in, control what we can control, and just really be ready for anything. And so just being able to kind of get a good pitch to hit, and Mike L had a great at-bat, stole a base, and was able to kind of get on and do that was special.
We want game one, right? And we did just enough on the offensive side. The pitching was remarkable. The atmosphere was great. I mean, you could tell right away, you know, right from the anthem when they scream, oh, you know, I mean, it was loud. But it helps when you're not letting them get on the board to keep things in check.
Yeah, that's, I think, something that's really important to note as we hear there from Matt Quatraro is that in the case of now with the Orioles and the Royals, you didn't have a run until the 6th. And so it was extremely tense with every inning that went by. The tension was building. But it does help when you can hold the home team and the fans at bay and they're not as huge a factor like what we saw with the Tigers. I mean, Tarek Skubal able to silence a lot of hostile crowds, but doing that in Houston and also what we saw with the Mets and Brewers, although I think not obviously till the 5th inning because they were back and forth. So some very different games, really different tones set early on, and I'm looking forward to what happens on Wednesday. And remember, last year we didn't get any Game 3s in the wild card, so we'll see how many of these go the distance.
Oh,
it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show, middle show of the work week. Still another hour for you to vote for TD of the week, and producer Pete has come through so you can hear our candidates again.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Southern Salting into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The San Francisco 49ers.
Ayuk tight right, and they go Kittle, Jennings, Debo from inside to out left. Brock back, and a throw for the end zone for Kittle. Lob ball, George went up and caught the ball. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle! In the corner, baby!
The Kansas City Chiefs.
In motion is Sky Moore. Moving short to the right is Mahomes. Gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! A long bomb! And the Chiefs finally get there! A 54-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy! Patrick Mahomes! A perfect throw! Burning Christian Fulton.
The Houston Texans.
Second and goal. Diggs to the right side.
British Brooks.
Ready.
Offset eye. CJ rolls out to the right, throws to the end zone. Hits Dory! And the Texans score! They lead! CJ Stroud to Dory Ogunbowale, who's had a huge game, puts the Texans on top.
The Detroit Lions.
Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff. That is Monday Night Magic.
I love Monday Night Magic. I love Tuesday Night Magic and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday pretty soon. Niners call with Greg Papa, George Kittle up in a phone booth, elevating to get his touchdown pass from Brock Purdy. Also, Xavier Worthy going deep for a 50-yard pass from Patrick Mahomes. First time he's done that in 30 games. Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. 18 seconds to go. CJ Stroud throws the game-winning touchdown against the Jaguars. And finally, little trickeration to the left side. Amon-Ra St. Brown throwing to Jared Goff, his first career touchdown reception. And Dan Miller with the call on Lions Radio. About an hour to go. That poll is pinned at the top of our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours. That's also where you can send your questions for Ask Amy, which is next hour on our Facebook page, too. All right, we're going to get out pretty quickly here so that we can get ready for Tony Gwynn Jr. He's part of that broadcast team for Padres Radio, former big league outfielder himself. Obviously, he is the son of a Hall of Famer and a baseball family, and we're really excited to have him from San Diego. Straight ahead, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And they are one out away from starting the celebration. Here's a ground ball to third, backhanded by Machado, all the way on the outfield grass, long throw to first in time. What a play by Manny to end the game. Michael King and the Padres shut out the Braves 4-0 in game one of the wild card series. They will go for the sweep here tomorrow night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Padres make a loud statement to open the playoffs at Petco. Jesse Agler with the call on our San Diego affiliate, 97.3 The Fan, alongside Tony Gwynn Jr., familiar name in baseball circles, of course, a big leaguer himself, and now the analyst on the Padres radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we are pleased to be joined by Tony Gwynn Jr., who serves as an Odyssey baseball insider, and all of our insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Tony, the visuals were exceptional. What was the atmosphere like inside Petco Park for this game one?
Amy, it was incredible. I mean, we broke a sellout record this year once again, but this atmosphere, I mean, just during starting lineups, it was absolutely bonkers. And in kind of fitting fashion, Fernando Tatis Jr. comes up in the first inning, and, you know, he missed out on the playoffs in 22. He didn't get a chance to participate. And so this was his first time playing in the playoff setting in front of a crowd. I think the last time he played in the playoffs was 20, and there was cardboard boxes in the stand. So fitting fashion, he got the first pitch and crushed it, and the Padres really never looked back from that point on.
Michael King was terrific, as was his catcher, Kyle Higashioka. I heard you and Jesse Agler raving about the two of them. How did they command this game?
For as important as Kyle is to the situation, obviously, putting the fingers down, Michael King was really the one steering the ship today. Numerous times I saw him calling the pitch, you know, going to that pitch com, making the call on his own. And he just got better as the game went on. I'm sure in his first, like, big-time start in the playoffs, nerves were probably rolling. And you could tell no sign of that. He settled in really nicely after the first and just really dominated that Braves lineup that they didn't have an answer for him.
This team has the best record in baseball since the All-Star break. This team looks a lot more like what we saw 2 years ago in the postseason. What happened that powered the surge?
Honestly, I mean, I don't know that anything happened. You know, the Padres had set on a long-term plan of a certain approach they wanted to have offensively. And, you know, when you're putting together an approach as a team approach, it can take some time for it to settle in and kind of understand everybody's role in it and how that's going to look. And I just think by the time the break came, you know, Manny had started to get hot. Xander Bogaerts had come off the IL. He was starting to swing the bat well. And I just think it all kind of came together at the perfect time. Mike Schilt has really been the one pushing the idea that when the Padres were teetering in the first half of at 500, above 500, just below, he really had the approach that this was going to continue to get better. And that's exactly what happened. From every aspect of the game of baseball, they got better. And I think it just all came together at the right time.
We're excited to have former big leaguer and Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. with us, fresh off the broadcast on the Padres Radio Network as they take game one over the visiting Braves in this wild card series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's kind of a weird aberration now in between the 22 and 24 seasons. Any theories as to what went wrong?
A large part of that team is still here. And I think you talk to the guys, it just got to a point where the expectation was so high going into the season. After getting to an NLCS a year before, I just think these guys tried to start pressing. It became trying to hit the four-run homer with no one on every at-bat per purpose. And it's hard to win baseball games like that. And the experience of that led to this ball club really being open to a new direction. And here comes hitting coach Victor Rodriguez. Here comes new manager Mike Schilt. And they just bought in from day one. They wanted to have a Petco Park approach, as they call it, which, you know, in this ballpark here, the ball's tough to get out of the ballpark. So a lot more on the line drive, kind of swing in the middle of the field. And as I said, as the year went along, they got better at it. And I think that's really the difference. You know, they had good pitching last year. They had a good bullpen last year. They just couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. They couldn't do some of the little things like move guys and bring them in from third, less than two. They struggled at that immensely. And this team here in 24 has not. They've been the exact opposite.
There's always a debate that goes on about how much experience matters. You played the game. How does it help?
It definitely helps. I mean, listen, I'm sure Michael King, in his first big start in postseason, had a lot of the same nerves he had as his first pitch in the big league. The more you're in it, the easier it is to start to control that. And, you know, he did a great job, as I said. But the guys who are experienced, there's probably less nerves. They know what to expect from the crowd, and they understand the focus that turns up a couple dials from the regular season to the postseason. And that's across the board, everybody, even some of the rookies who are getting their first opportunity. There's just a different focus in playoff baseball that there isn't in regular season.
Fernando Tatis hits a huge home run, first pitch that he sees. How have you seen Tatis grow and mature over the last couple seasons?
He's matured immensely. You go through what he went through. You know, he broke his wrist. You know, he had to miss out. Then he tests positive. He misses a full year, you know, for a lot of us, whether it's injury or whether it's, you know, the things he went through. When the game is stripped from you, you realize how important it is to you. And in that process, he's become, you know, he's grown from a young man to a man. And I think it shows in the way he kind of carries himself on the field and off the field. And he's a joy to have.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Round, and it's just nice to see somebody, you know, really take their growth seriously. And I think it's been fun to see him have some success because of it.
Hmm. What makes the Atlanta Braves dangerous?
I think when they're healthy, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league, in all of the National League, for certainly. But that's not the case here. You know, they're missing Ronald. Ozzie Albies is only hitting right-handed. So that tells you he's probably got something that's still bothering him. They're missing a bunch of pitching. And that doesn't mean this team can't turn the series around and bring it in their favor, because obviously, despite all of those injuries, here they are, you know, playing in the postseason. So they're a plenty dangerous team, and the Padres certainly won't, you know, overlook them. They'll come out and try to put it away tomorrow. But, you know, when you got guys like Marcell Ozuna and even if only right-handed Albies and Matt Olson, these guys can, if they can score, that's going to be their ticket to extending this series. If those guys can't be the ones carrying the load, or if this team can't score offensively, it's going to be trouble, because they are behind the eight ball.
Tony Gwynn Jr. is with us after hours with Amy Lawrence, and all of our insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Love to watch the NL West race this year, because it really was a three-team battle. But how much does it matter that the Padres see the Dodgers on a regular basis and aren't intimidated by them like so many other teams are?
I think that's an advantage for the Padres. They, for the first time in many, many years, the Padres won the regular season series. And I think throughout all of the years where they were getting beat by the Dodgers, I think once they took them out in that 2022 playoff series, you've kind of seen the tide change a little bit. There is no fear of that ball club. Even though they respect the Dodgers immensely, because they've been division winners for over a decade.
Right.
And so there's a tremendous amount of respect that comes with it. However, I think the Padres have shown this year, really, that they don't fear them. And they know, even on paper, they match up as well with them as they do anybody in this league.
What's your reaction to what Ohtani did this season?
He's amazing. I mean, this is the guy who's right underneath Bonds, in my opinion, in terms of the type of season he had. That's really the only other guy I've seen do it at an even higher level.
Hmm.
To see him come off the Tommy John into an environment that is a lot different than Anaheim. I mean, let's be honest. You know, nobody was checking for the Angel. You move into probably a much bigger stage, much brighter light, and to put on your best season that you've ever had, I just think it was remarkable. It was fun to watch, even though he was on the other team. This is a guy, if you love baseball, it's impossible not to enjoy watching him step to the plate on an everyday basis. I was telling my partner, Jesse Agler, I was like, I don't know that I've seen a major league player this year get off his ace swing as much as you see Ohtani. And that's a really hard thing to do, especially with the kind of stuff that these guys are seeing, the type of velocity. He gets off his ace swing almost every time, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Well, as you point out, if you love baseball, you love to watch him hit and soon pitch again. Ohtani needs to be on the playoff stage the way that Mike Trout does, and we haven't seen him in a decade.
It's good for baseball. Ideally, you have your very best in the playoffs every single year. That's what makes the NBA the NBA. That's what makes the NFL the NFL, is if you get the superstars into this time of year where all eyes are on them, it really boosts your game. And so, you know, for the first time in his career, we're going to actually get the chance to see Ohtani in games that matter, you know, more than anything. And I think that's ultimately a win for baseball. It's certainly a win for the Dodgers. you know, I think their team has some warts too. And even though they got the bye, they're going to have their hands full trying to piece this thing together with the kind of, you know, really the lack of pitching that they really have had
right
in a long, long time.
Well, I'm glad you brought up pitching. I was going there next. How does the Padres rotation and the bullpen too stack up against what else we see in the NL playoffs?
I think it's the very best in all of baseball. I don't think it really matters whether we're talking National League or American League. I think in this series in particular, right, you got a guy like Yu Darvish in your bullpen. You got a guy like Michael King taking game one over the likes of a Joe Musgrove and a Dylan Cease, who's thrown a no-hitter this year. And so I think that in the starting rotation kind of speaks volumes. And then, you know, the moves that A.J. Preller made at the break, you know, bringing in a Jason Adam, bringing in a Tanner Scott to kind of solidify that back end. You have a young rookie in Jeremiah Estrada who is one of the better back end arms. He's not even pitching in those situations necessarily. So the Padres have a ton of depth. And, you know, come this time of year, where sometimes you got to get into that pen a little bit earlier than you may want to, they have the depth to be able to pull it off for the length of this tournament.
Former big leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. is with us after hours with Amy Lawrence, fresh off game one for the Padres over the Braves, and Fernando Tatis with a huge home run. But the first home run on day one of the playoffs, does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. You know, I think when we get to this time of year, you know, pitching is the thing. The teams that have had to rely on the long ball, although the Padres relied on it today, they are the ones that sometimes struggle because the pitching gets better and the opportunity for the big fly isn't there as much. And so if you get it, it's bonus. And, you know, typically those teams win a lot of games if you can get the homer, but you can't be relying on it. And, you know, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise that in the first games of this wild card series, there was, you know, one's probably a little low, but certainly not having a ton of them, I think, is the norm come playoff time.
Tony, we just saw the A's wrap up nearly 60 years in Oakland, a unique relationship there that extends back a long time. You've been in San Diego for forever, it feels like, and your family established there. The Chargers are gone now. How would you describe the relationship between the Padres, this organization, and the fans there in San Diego?
It's interesting because this was always a Charger town first, despite, you know, many people thought this was always a football town first. So when they left, it created an opening for the Padres. And the Padres were having some of those young guys and starting to spend in free agency right at that time. And so it really was perfect timing. You know, the Chargers leave, there's a big void. Padres have a chance to fill it, but they certainly wouldn't have been able to fill it with, you know, lackluster team.
Right.
And so in comes Toddy, you know, as a young player. They sign Eric Hosmer first. Machado follows. And so all of this starts to build at the right time. And, you know, for a city like San Diego, we had never really spent in free agency like this. So that alone was exciting. And then you start to see the couple years put together and you start to see it, the team starting to come together. And so this relationship right now is as good as it's ever been, you know, since the existence of the San Diego Padres. Maybe the 84 team, maybe the 98 team, but in terms of consistency, this is the best the Padres organization has ever been. And so right now there is an extreme love affair in the city. The city buzzes when this team is playing well and in the playoffs. And as I said earlier, I've done all these games at Petco Park. I have never seen a crowd engage from moment starting lineups happen to the end the way I saw tonight at Petco Park.
I certainly hear from a lot of Padres fans who are all in on this team, as you point out, Tony. If you don't mind, before I let you go, over the last 24 hours, I've heard a lot about Pete Rose. There'll be a lot of talk about his legacy and his impact on the game over the course of October. But again, because you spent so much time in the game, even before you played yourself with your dad, how would you describe his impact on the game of baseball?
I mean, if you let my dad tell it, I mean, there wasn't anybody better. There's so much respect and admiration for Pete Rose as a player because, you know, he's the hit king. And I think we're learning how hard it is to get hits at the major league level and to have over 4,000 of them. For guys who enjoy the art of hitting, Pete Rose was the guy. You know, there are, the thing about baseball that I love, especially hitting, is there's so many different styles growing up. And that's what made the game, you know, so, you know, attractive you know, back in the day. And I think we've moved away from that a little bit. We kind of got carbon copies everywhere. But Pete Rose was really one of a kind. And he exemplified not only what it was to hit, but, I mean, he's got a moniker named after, you know, Charlie Hustle. That is how people want to see the game play. Now, he got into some trouble because sometimes they thought he was playing too hard and times he shouldn't have been. But that's the kind of love and respect he has in the baseball community, for sure. You know, I think you can have the discussion on, you know, the things that transpired off the field with him. But in terms of what he did on the field and how much he loved the game of baseball, I don't think you can have an argument there.
Tony Gwynn Jr., fresh off that call with Jesse Agler, Padres Radio Network, of the opener of this wild card series. Big win for the Padres, a former big league outfielder himself, and now with Odyssey as an MLB insider, brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tony, great to grab your perspective. I appreciate a few minutes. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Amy.
Really interesting to get his perspective on Pete Rose as someone who's been embedded in baseball since he was a kid, but also someone who knows San Diego really well. And I love the framework with which he kind of shares about the relationship, knowing that they lost the Chargers and understanding that the Padres always played second fiddle to the Chargers, but now this relationship between the Padres and the fans there in San Diego even more critical because it's the only one. And I appreciate that. We've heard from so many Padres fans over the course of the last couple of months, especially, but even going back to earlier in the season when they had success against the Dodgers, they would have owned that tie break and the division title had they managed to tie the Dodgers before the end of the regular season. And we may see them against one another in the playoffs. So good stuff with Tony. That whole conversation will be available on our podcast, posted early on Wednesday morning. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week. About an hour from now, your chance to ask Amy anything via producer Pete. He is the gatekeeper. So send those questions at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Let's lead off with the baseball playoffs.
Here's the 1-2, and Higgy swings, sends it in the air, deep to left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. It's going to go!
Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. The Padres over the Braves 4-0 in Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series. Michael King was brilliant. 7 innings, no runs, 5 hits, 12 strikeouts, home runs for Fernando Tatis Jr. and Kyle Higashioka. Game 2, Wednesday, 8:38 p.m., Eastern Time. Now to Milwaukee.
Now the pitch. Breaking ball. Hit on the ground. Right side. Base hit. Right field. Nimmo is in. Nientos around third, coming to the plate. The throw goes to third. Two-run score. Stopping at second is Alonso. J.D. Martinez with a two-run single. And the Mets have put up a five spot here in the fifth inning. They go in front of the Brewers 8-4.
That was Howie Rose on Mets Radio. The Mets beat the Brewers 8-4. They lead the series 1-0. Game 2 Wednesday, 7:38 p.m. Eastern Time. Now to the American League, where the Tigers beat the Astros 3-1. Detroit up 1-0. Tarek Skubal, 6 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. Game 2 Wednesday, 2:32 p.m. Eastern Time. The Royals beat the Orioles 1-0. Kansas City up 1-0. Cole Reagan, 6 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. Game 2 Wednesday, 4:38 p.m. Eastern Time. Now to the NFL. The Raiders have reportedly informed other NFL teams that they would consider trading wide receiver Davante Adams for a package that includes a second-round pick and additional compensation. The Bills' Von Miller suspended by the NFL 4 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Now to the WNBA semifinals. Game 2 in New York. The Liberty over the Aces, 88-84. The Liberty up 2-0. The Lynx beat the Sun 77-70 in Game 2 of that series. And that series is now deadlocked at 1 game apiece. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
big 5'11", 200-pounder. They switch him out. They keep him in the backfield. They run a jet sweep to DJ Turner through the left side. Breaks the tackle, 15. Turner is shimmy at the 10, the 5, the dive. Touchdown! DJ Turner with his first career touchdown. And it's on an 18-yard wide receiver run.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Raiders radio network, this is the wacky and weird for me is the Raiders and wondering in what world are they operating? And I know we asked you all this question going back to Sunday night's show into Monday, and a lot of people answered on our social media, where do you see the wacky and weird for the first month of the NFL season? Well, there's plenty of wacky to go around, and lots of you are pointing to the weird, which I appreciate. Maybe we can get to some of those. For me, it's been the Raiders and this roller coaster ride for them, and apparently it's not done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Got about 45 minutes to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also have a few minutes left to vote for our TD of the week, and you can do that. Either of those duties, responsibilities, obligations. No, it's not like that. You can hang out. You can be part of the fun, if you will, on The Hump Show. If you find us at Amy After Hours, that's how you can get directly to producer Pete, or you can go to our Facebook page. I know they're both really active. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I did see a couple of questions about the neighbor's light. Oh, dear. It's not going to go away, is it? I don't really want to talk about it, but I will if you ask me. All right, back to the Raiders because they've got much bigger problems. They've actually informed other teams around the league they would, quote, consider trading Devontae Adams. They are looking for a second-round draft pick and whatever other compensation teams are willing to offer. So essentially, this is our starting point. This is where the bidding begins. We are looking for your best offer. It reminds me a little bit about the housing market these days, especially around major cities where people don't have a lot of options. Rent can even be more expensive. And so when a house goes on the market, and this is certainly the case in my county, when a house goes on the market, there are dozens of offers that come in. And often you're getting people that are overbidding, that are waiving some of their rights like inspection and all that jazz because they're so desperate to be able to get a home. Well, here are the Raiders who are saying, all right, you should be desperate to get Devontae Adams. It's not often that an all-pro receiver becomes available. And so we'll start the bidding at a second-round draft pick, and then we'll see what else you can offer to us. I mean, this is a drastic term, but I don't know that it's one we didn't see coming because he wasn't even on the field when DJ Turner hauled in his first career touchdown, though he was celebrating and he was cheering for his team. He's a class act. He said he's, remember when he got traded from the Packers, he always wanted to play for the Raiders. That was the team that he grew up cheering for, that he fell in love with. That was his family's favorite team. And even though the Packers offered him more money to stay in Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers was still there, he wanted to go to Oakland/Vegas. Okay, well, it's gone horribly wrong. He's had to catch passes or attempt to catch passes from so many different quarterbacks that it's really hard to have any type of continuity. Think about it. The Raiders have started 6 different quarterbacks since he joined the team in 2022. 6 of them. Derek Carr was his college roommate, the guy that he wanted to play with, his best friend, but he was gone. He got benched at the end of their season, and then he was gone. So even though Devontae has remained very productive, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. In fact, since 2022, no player in the league has more receiving touchdowns. And yet here are these conversations about him finding another team. And remember, this is an ongoing conversation. Once Derek Carr was gone and the Raiders were suffering through another coaching change and then firing Josh McDaniels and promoting Antonio Pierce, I mean, this has been an ongoing conversation and the rumors of various issues with his team.
All I can control is this talk we're having right here. And then after we're done with this, all I can control is the next thing that I'm on to. So I'm going to get up in a minute and get a nice workout in, and that's all I can control.
The voice you hear there is Kay Adams. That's from Up and Adams, which is her morning show, and he is a frequent guest there. And, yeah, there's been a lot of speculation about his future.
It gets annoying for sure, but it's, you know, I'm one of those players that people like to talk about one way or the other, so thank God that he blessed me with the ability to just focus in on what I need to focus in on and not get sidetracked by any of the outside noise. So if you know better than anybody, we've talked about this mm-hmm. many times, and I feel like that's why you have respect for me. If I was the type of guy that, you know, let certain things that people say on the outside get to me, then, you know, I wouldn't be in a position that I am now. And I've had some ups and downs in the league, and through it all, I've just tried to stay like this and, you know, do my part in that. So whatever else happens, what people are talking about, what people are mm-hmm. tweeting, liking, you know, whatever it is, you know, I can't do anything about that.
Once again, that's Devontae Adams from Up and Adams with Kay Adams, and no relation. I mean, there's all kinds of different drama with Antonio Pierce and him liking a post from Sports Illustrated, wondering whether Devontae played his last game with Vegas. Trying to read into this stuff is a little quirky, but the fact that the Raiders are making him available would seem to indicate that he's not happy and that right now they think that they can do better without him, or at least get something valuable in exchange. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.